welcome to MTF's This Is Africa, the filmmakers podcast for anything and everything film in Africa.
Yes.
We're based in Gaborone, Botswana, but we speak on all film news across the continent. I'm Nikita Mukhware, scriptwriter and actress.
And I'm Serene Serena, filmmaker and scriptwriter.
Woo!
Today we're going to be talking about new upcoming channels, big name collaborations, and more.
And we're also going to be talking to Becky Ngoma, writer of Zuba, the biggest telenovela in Zambia right now, bruh.
Telenovelas are your thing, hey? I'm sure you're hooked with Zuba.
I mean, but it's actually been a while. I have a lot of catch up to do because there's just so much new stuff coming out these days.
Oh my gosh, right? I know, like everyone out there is making content every day, nonstop. I mean, I love to see it.
Hey!
Safely, of course. Covered.
Safely. Guys. Yes, yes. Very strict about that. Mm. You know what I mean?
You know, and some people are making new content from stuff that they did last year.
Mm.
Like the ladies behind the incredible South African play, hashtag We Are Dying Here.
Oh my gosh, that play.
You know it?
Yes,
you saw it?
Got a
you loved
short
it?
Film adaptation.
Yes.
Oh man. it holds such a special place in my heart.
It's a stage play turned short film focusing on gender-based violence.
Mm.
The original story belongs to South African writer, performer, and director Sipho Kazi Jonas, who performed it during the lockdown last year.
Yo, every day. Bruh, every day I stop what I'm doing and I wish I could have gotten to see that play live.
Right.
Like, there's just something about theater performances, guys. The stuff I read about it also, it just makes me so curious. Like, I want to see it.
I mean, it was mentioned in Time Out New York as one of the best productions to stream during lockdown.
Hey!
It was big.
Gosh, darn it.
But don't worry, Ananiki. We've got the short film to look forward to.
Yeah, we do.
And it's already off to a great start as it's been selected to be streamed at the Pan-African Film Festival this year from Feb 28th to March 14th.
Hey. And that's amazing. I mean, I've heard of that festival. It is quite the achievement to be selected there.
And it doesn't hurt just, you know, Sia Kolisi and his wife are executive producers.
Oh.
So
Sia? The Sia Kolisi, rugby captain of my heart. Guys. As a couple, it was a couple thing.
Guys, couple goals.
They were like, we like you.
Couple goals,
we want
guys.
You.
Couple
we
goals.
You.
And I'm happy that they did it. It's beautiful.
I know, right? It's now selected for a film festival. Hashtag winning,
hashtag
more like it.
Winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beautiful. Mm. The play is poetry-based.
Oh, yes, of course.
Some of us love poetry, so...
Hey. I mean, as Botswana also, we've got quite the poetry fan base.
We come from an orator's culture, so hence the poetry.
Let me tell you, there's something about South African poetry. It just transcends, you know? It's so captivating, so enthralling. You can't help but be in awe of it, like, all the time.
Ugh, then you're gonna love this.
Mm.
There's a line from the trailer. It's simple, but it's so hectic.
Mm.
It goes, thanks for the hashtag, but the trend is we're dying here.
Ooh.
Just that.
Ooh.
The way it just pulls out of the spectator role and into the reality of what they're speaking
That's
on.
That's what they're saying. Exactly. Like you as the audience now don't, like, wow. That kind of line makes you as the audience feel like you're no longer the audience.
It breaking now, that fourth wall.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a cute quote or an attempt at attention. It's real. It's like, listen, this is real. This is very real.
And that's what they set out to achieve.
Mm.
And I'm sure.
And I saw the poster, and it gives me such, you know, set it off vibes.
Set it off?
Mm.
That's
it. It's an old film, but it's really, really good.
Oh, it's a film.
Yes. Did you not know that?
Let's continue.
It's a film, okay? It's a film, but it's a really good one. It's okay, though. It's quite old. But it's also got an all-black woman cast. Incredible thing. It was critically acclaimed, did well at the box office. Have to watch it again.
Ooh, so like Set It Off and hashtag We Are Dying Here, you feel like they have similar plots?
No. The thing for me that hits the most is that the strong woman leads, you know, that's the similarity. And in fact, I heard that PAV, the Pan-African Film Festival, has had a huge amount of women-directed films selected this year. 92, to be exact. 92. That's
how
great.
We say Happy Women's History Month.
Happy Women's History Month!
Beautiful.
Whoop, whoop. Indeed. Indeed.
Women, we're doing the things.
Women.
And with that being said, let's introduce our special guest, Becky Ngwama. Mm. She is a highly talented filmmaker coming all the way from Zambia. Mm. She's a scriptwriter, director, and producer here to talk to us about her current projects and just how she manages to do it all. Mm. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Serena. Hi, Nikita.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Great. Can you please just tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Becky Ngwama. I am a Zambian and a filmmaker by profession. Specialize mostly in writing, screenwriting, though I also do directing and producing. I'm also a mentor for girls that are just getting started in the film industry, just helping them, guiding them through the steps as they build their careers. I'm also a trainer for a platform called Young Cinema Zambia, and one of the directors for Zambia Short Film Festival, which is facilitated by my production company, which I co-own with my close friend from childhood and also who's been like my partner in crime, Jessie Chisi.
Yes, we've heard of her.
I run a media company with my partner, Jessie Chisi, called House of Walk.
All right. So we'd like to delve a bit into your writing because as far as I've heard, you have been into script writing for the longest time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd just like to know, what's your earliest writing experience? What made you decide you want to be a writer?
Okay. I wouldn't say the decision to be a writer was a conscious one.
Mm. Okay.
It wasn't really a conscious decision, like where you're in school and you're like, oh, okay, once I'm done with high school, I'm going to be a writer. I think it's something that happened by default, or probably something that is already written in the universe that I'm supposed to take this path. Yeah. So yeah, my purpose has to do with communication.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As my name Ngwama already says. Yes. All I know is my purpose has to do with communication, and my purpose also has to do with creating a better space through whichever place I am, and the gift for that is storytelling. I wouldn't say writing, like storytelling as a skill. I think it's something I picked up from my grandparents.
Okay.
From my two grandmothers, yeah, from the time I was a kid in the village where I grew up in Chipata, which is the eastern side of Zambia.
I see.
And then the folklore had this thing where each story had, it had a message, it had a theme, it was teaching something.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And so I got hooked on their stories and I started retelling the stories to my peers, which were my first audience.
Oh.
So it was oral. Yeah. So it was oral. I picked up a skill. I picked up stories orally, and I also took them to another audience orally. But I did not just take the story. I kind of like expanded on their ideas. That was the first, that was my first entry into tapping into my creativity. Because from my grandparents, I went to live with my mother, and my mother is a huge bookworm. And so she introduced me to novels, and so my story, my exposure in storytelling went beyond just folklore, but I was reading multi-genre stories and I was experiencing different parts of the world through the books. And then my thinking also started expanding and I started writing my own stuff. I actually used to write little pieces of poetry.
Now you guys are working on like the biggest telenovela in Zambia, Zuba. How's that going?
Yeah. It was actually before Zuba. Wait a minute. What happened there? We met this lady, Catherine Kaseketi.
Mm-hmm.
Musola Catherine Kaseketi, actually, my first mentor.
And
now we actually now sit on the same board of MTF, Talent Factory.
Yeah.
So we met Catherine, and she was already pioneering in the film industry, and she just expanded our passion, and she was quite exposed. And she started sharing her knowledge with us, and then we started undergoing through some trainings, some workshops while interning at her company, Villola Images. And through that internship, I applied for the Durban International Film Durban Talent Campus. And I was selected, and then I went to Durban International Film Festival as a talent representing Zambia, and it was a huge platform, and I met filmmakers that were like people that I looked up to. I worked as senior writer on Cabanana for 3 years. And from Cabanana, the next project I worked on was it was actually Love Games. It got what are these Nigerian MVCs?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it got it. Yeah, it we whisked away like I don't know about 3 awards.
Oh, congratulations!
At the MVCs.
Yeah, that's an achievement.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and then Love Games was quite it was quite huge. And from Love Games, the next project I worked on was with Julianne Adam. At Global Studios when they were doing Fever. And that was the time Zambezi Magic was launching itself in Zambia. And then from Fever Season 1, I was supposed to do Fever Season 2, but Zambezi Magic had a new project which they wanted to sample on the market.
Okay.
And the genre was telenovela. Okay.
Wow.
So I saw the concept and I fell in love with it. And that's how I made my decision. I was like, Julianne, I want to be part of this. And so that's how Julianne engaged me in the capacity of head writer, creative director, and casting director. Yeah. And so from there, I was supposed to break down the concept and go present in Kenya, because the same story was supposed to be produced in three regions.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
didn't know that.
And so so we went to Kenya to workshop the story. I did my presentation, and of course I went with that because I was used to writing drama. And we had a team from Bollywood. We had a team from India actually who were helping us understand the dynamics of telenovela writing.
Literally,
my presentation was off key. I went with drama in my head, remember? And I realized like a telenovela is a totally new genre with different dynamics.
Of course.
The DNA of the genre works, and the DNA of the genre I've been accustomed to was different. And so the lady in Elima who was workshopping us just tells me, Becky, empty everything you know. I just need you to be blank and learn how this works. Because I was like, I look at what she's talking about. Oh, the ideal character is supposed to be, you know, appeal to a wider audience. It's the stereotype of what an ideal good girl is like. And we are defining this lead character. And I was like, she sounds stupid. I was like, she sounds stupid. Like, all this naivety and what? And he's like, no, this character is irritating. Like, she sounds superficial. And then they're like, yeah, Becky.
Yes.
That's the whole point.
Yes. That's a telenovela. Okay.
We are building it's fantasized. It's fantasized.
Thank you.
We're now also speaking about your new upcoming project, Tamzu Town.
Temzu Town. Oh, okay, yeah.
So
Temzu Town is it's a project that is produced by Just Films, and it's a South African film company, and we also operate from the UK. That's how I went on board. It's an animation web series for DMI in partnership with ministries of health and education in the East African region. The whole theme is centered on sexual reproductive health rights.
Yeah,
and
that's so important.
For preteens, and how do we prepare them for their sexual reproductive health and their rights.
Yeah.
So it's an awareness.
Yeah.
Awareness project for young people, and also for families to get enlightened about the subject and also see the solutions that are there on the, so that young people do not mess up their life, they hinder their own future.
Exactly. Mm. And that's
because teen pregnancies and everything, they are quite retrograde. Yeah. And the retrogression is not just that in the life of the teenager, it's a family problem, it's a national problem, it's a societal problem. It was fun writing it. And I got to watch the first episode.
Oh, I saw the first episode.
I told you, like, I'm all about stretching.
Yeah.
First time I was writing animation. Yeah. First time I was writing animation as well.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
And I realized animation, the ethics of writing. Yeah. I realized also the DNA, the ethics are totally different. New genre and stuff.
Yep,
I saw the animation. I saw the first episode and I was really impressed by how, you know, you're not shying away from any of the issues.
Mm.
You're striking them head on, but it's still so entertaining and so engaging. It's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, personally, I want to see such projects. I want to see more of these.
Mm.
I want to learn more about these things. And I hope that our audience gets to see that too.
Coming from Africa.
You know, from Africa.
Yeah, I'm also very passionate about doing projects that make a difference in society. Yeah?
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Big part of the community that is actually solving a problem.
Yes, that's what we want.
So are there any other projects that you're working on that we should look forward to in 2021?
Yes, there's a project that I recently wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a rom-com, a romance comedy feature film. 90 minutes.
Nikki, that sounds like it's for you. That's
for me.
Yeah,
that is for me.
It's produced by Lexi Sparkles.
Mm.
It's a production company in Abuja. The executive producers, Chidi Umeoji and Alex Odiningwe.
Mm.
Odiningwe, I pronounce these names. Yeah, I got on board through a filmmaker who I'm on the same platform. He's the producer, Ijeofo Chukwumeka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's
got
beautiful.
On board. They wanted a romance comedy.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like
a romance comedy
for the
Nigerian.
Yeah.
Like writing a story for Magnet Panda. Yes, yeah.
Mm, I love
I love it also. I think that
it's
we should
beautiful.
Be going that way.
Yeah.
That's the way to
go. It's important, Yeah.
You'll be coming to Botswana soon and we'll be making movies
mm-hmm.
together.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we should be. We should be.
Yes.
And so he told me they wanted a rom-com. And so I wrote this feature called Bushitas.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm talking right now, they're actually on day four of filming, if I'm not wrong.
Beautiful.
Premiere in Abuja, I think, next month.
Can't wait.
Post-production.
Whoop. This is beautiful, Becky. Where and how can we connect with you?
You can connect with me via Facebook.
Mm.
You just look for Becky Ngoma. You can look. You can also connect with me via Twitter. I'm Black Coffee. Instagram. I am Lion Queen. And you can also connect with me via Gmail, which is Becky Ngoma. 2000@gmail.com.
But thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. It's been beautiful. You're making so many things happen.
Honestly.
It's wonderful. It's amazing.
Keep going.
Keep at it. Please. We'd like to talk to you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That is really insightful.
I'm telling you, Zambia is making quite the leaps and bounds when it comes to the film industry. And it's wonderful to see that from one of our neighbors. You know?
It is. It's beautiful.
It has to happen.
That's
it
an inspiration.
Yes.
And I love all the collaboration that happens.
That's,
you know, like the fact that they're always willing to move in Zambia as we speak.
Yeah.
We had 20 youths that were selected to participate in a business mobile filmmaking training program.
Hey.
It's been fully designed and implemented by the Swatambe Film Institute and fully funded by the US Embassy in Zambia.
Yes, finally! One of my friends on Facebook, Emmanuel
mm-hmm.
Mwape, he was part of that.
On Facebook. Hi, Mwape.
Hey. But yeah, he was part of that and he did mention it. It was, you know, quite the success.
Mm.
But it's so great that we're teaching the people how to make the films, and it's with the like most affordable and accessible equipment A phone.
Everybody has a phone at this point.
Hey, you know, and phones can do so much now.
Yes, high quality, low quality. But at the end of the day, you've got a phone. It's got a camera.
If it has a camera,
you can use it.
Good to go.
You know, and that's exactly what Martina Mwanza, the co-founder and managing director of the Film Institute, said. She also went on to mention that it's not just about being able to film. It's about being able to sell what you're filming.
That's extremely important. Mm. Creatives know that they will have to gain some form of entrepreneurial skills over the course of their careers. Yeah. You know, it's not just about filming, it's about selling what you're filming.
Exactly.
So it's nice to hear that filmmaking training programs are now incorporating that.
Turning your talent into a craft, a dependable source of income.
Such a process, but so necessary.
And I'm sure it doesn't hurt to learn how to keep expenses low by being able to shoot content with your phone.
Is what I'm saying.
You know, the history of shooting films on mobile phones actually is quite interesting.
Oh, do tell, mademoiselle.
Did you just rhyme on purpose?
Yes, milady. It's exquisite. For I am a born lyricist. I'm a born lyricist.
Okay. Anyway. So I won't get into too much detail, né? But I just feel like there's one film that we have to mention, and that's Sean Baker's Tangerine.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember that film.
I watched that one.
It apparently changed the world in terms of filmmaking. I may be over-exaggerating, but I don't think I am. It was pretty great.
Yeah, but I mean, it did practically kind of change the world. When it comes to mobile filmmaking, you know, it really opened our eyes. Tangerine had a great cast, a terrific story, but more than anything, it changed those boundaries of how to make a quality film. It was shot using multiple iPhones and anamorphic adapters.
Hey, bruh. And that's how they were able to, you know, bring it to life, I guess, you know, through the lenses.
Exactly.
The lenses must have played quite a big
role.
They helped.
But honestly, I believe it was also how they could get into tighter areas and achieve shots that have been impossible with traditional camera gear. Phones are smaller. Have you seen a camera? Have you seen the cameras that they use in Hollywood?
I never considered that. Mm.
Like, really huge. Cameras and equipment, they take up so much space in a scene. So, like, using a phone has opened up so many possibilities. You know, camera positioning, angles. So it basically helps to make the film all the more engaging.
And I just know this all happened because budget. Like, there's no way. Like, I just don't see it where you're a filmmaker and you're like, you know what? We gonna shoot this on a phone. Like, back then. Now, yes.
Okay. No, true, actually.
It was such a rule. You have to have an actual camera to be considered a real filmmaker.
But actually, you're right. The budget actually did restrain them. So they're like, you know what? We still want to shoot a movie. And they figured, mobile phones.
Yeah, you know.
There's a camera
modern
in there.
Modern problems. Cool. For modern solutions.
Exactly.
That's what I said.
And these solutions have made the platform all the more flexible.
Thank you.
We now have more access than ever to tell our stories. Mm. We have the means to do it. And, of course, we have our audience.
Hey.
It's incredible to see how easy it is to shoot something.
Yeah, and not just films, but other content, you know, online videos, adverts, funny skits. Mm. I mean, platforms like Vine, you know, remember Vine?
Oh my gosh, it's been a while.
Blast from the
Nowadays
past.
Nowadays we talk about TikTok.
Yeah, you know, but those kind of places really opened up a lot of people's eyes to how we can use our phones to tell stories and not just, you know, one or two jokes.
I do wonder, when will we see the day that a film shot on mobile phones wins an Oscar?
Maybe soon. I mean, the times, they are changing. Out with the old, in with the new.
Speaking of the Oscars, though, we've got quite a few African films nominated this year, Nick.
Mm. And one of them is even a new entry, Tunisia.
Tunisia. Okay.
I mean, it's currently experiencing its first ever Oscar nomination, and it's for a film called The Man Who Sold His Skin.
Okay, wait, that title, guys, it scares me,
man. Say it again. I mean, The Man Who Sold His Skin.
Okay.
The one I'm really interested, though, as interesting as that title is, it has to be the one from Ivory Coast.
Okay.
And that one's called Night of the Kings. And it's a mystical fable told within the walls of the African country's notorious Maka prison.
Ah, yeah, I heard about that one. Another fun fact is that its distributor, Nian, was also the distributor of last year's winner, Parasite.
I mean, and that's a good sign.
Right?
That's a really good sign. I mean, the trailer alone, it makes me see why Nian picked them, you know? Because it is just mesmerizing.
That's beautiful.
The feel, the tone, the way it builds a myth around the characters in prison. Like, you feel as if you're peeking into another world, but it also feels like this is something right next door to you. Like, it feels like something that could happen because
I saw it. Mm. It's so African, you know, from the setting, like you're saying, from the characters, just the whole vibe. You know, it really pulls you out of our world and into theirs.
Hey, but it's at the
weird,
same time,
but it's still in Africa.
Power. And I really want to watch it. It's so frustrating talking about films and festivals because you're like, okay, give me. Like, you just want to watch. It looks like it's a wild ride from start to finish.
Yeah, no, the Oscars have really strong nominations this year. It's crazy.
Including some of the latest news about the late Chadwick Boseman. He recently won Best Actor in a Drama Motion Picture for his role in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
I heard. And I was touched. We were talking about his nominations last time, remember?
Yeah, we talked about that. And he did so much in those last years of his life. It's nice that even when all is said and done, he's still getting recognition.
It's what he deserves. He truly deserves it. Mm. His performance was incredible.
Honestly, the raw emotion he portrayed, especially near the end when the climax was being reached. And it's just, like, I really, really don't want to spoil, guys, but you felt his character's pain just through the eyes. Because that's a very big difference with, you know, camera acting versus theater acting.
Mm-hmm.
It's that with camera acting, and I don't know if you guys have noticed when you watch films, everything has to be told through the eyes.
Yeah, you don't go all over the place.
It's very rare camera. for all of that to happen compared to theater. But with camera, all of your emotion, all of your speech and dialogue has to go through the eyes. And Chadwick did that.
Chadwick did it.
He did.
Chadwick
that.
Knew how to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And did you hear the speech that his widow, Taylor Simone Ledward, gave when she accepted it, you know, on his behalf?
No.
I loved it. Mm. To quote some of it, she said, and I quote, he would thank God. He would thank his parents. Okay. He would thank his ancestors for their guidance and their sacrifices. He would thank his incredible team. He would say something beautiful, something inspiring, something that would amplify that little voice inside all of us that tells you, you can. That tells you to keep going and that calls you back to what you're meant to be doing at this moment in history.
Guys, he would. No, he really, really would.
He was an exceptional actor.
True.
He was an amazing man.
True.
His legacy will live much longer than any of us.
It must. No, he was such an inspiration. But hey, bruh, okay, no, let's move from this sad mood. We're not sad. He won an Oscar.
We're happy.
What else is going on, girl? Come on.
Okay. All right. Our final topic of the day, actually. Uganda's got a new channel.
Hey! New channel. This is what I like to hear.
Yeah, so MasterChef Uganda launched the new channel Pearl Magic Prime. Ooh. And it's a channel that's made for the local Ugandan audience that appreciates local thought-provoking content as well as entertaining content which capture cultural nuances of the Ugandan audience.
Oh, I like that description.
Thank you.
Nice.
I try.
And it's also in line with their whole, you know, commitment to giving content that resonates with their audience. Local content for the win!
Right? And what's more important is that for many filmmakers, this new channel has given them a big break in their careers.
I can imagine.
Most are now able to be working on their dream productions with sufficient budgets, enabling them to bring their stories to life. I keep thinking of Lukman Ali saying.
Hey, that's all we ask for, guys. That's it.
Yeah.
We just want chances to make magic.
Right?
Budgets to bring them to life.
Yes.
And platforms to showcase them on. Does it?
That's it.
Does it?
That's it. Matthew Nobiso, the producer on the new Sanyu series, which follows the story of an innocent, rural teenage girl who has to leave her family and her education behind to do a maid's job with a complex, wealthy urban family.
Sounds like something I gotta watch too, but that's...
Hashtag telenovela.
Hey, adding it to the list.
Yes, but Matthew Nobiso says that he's not had enough time to sleep for the last 8 months since he began working on this project. But it's worth it because he's getting to see his dream come true.
Yeah, you know, going for our dreams as creatives promote such unhealthy habits, though. Whoa, like,
hey,
it's hard. It charges more than money, guys.
I mean, but it's beautiful. But it's annoying, though. Like, that always happens.
Hey, man, sacrifices we make to do what we love. Mm. You know, Courage the Cowardly Dog. Oh, the things I do for love.
That's us.
It's not as easy as people think it is.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not at all.
And that is all that we have for today. keep a lookout for the new channel in Uganda, Ugandans, mm-hmm. and also Zambians. Let's keep on pushing. Let's keep on making the changes.
Yes, whether it's on camera or on a phone, let's keep the conversations going amongst ourselves as filmmakers.
Please, please, collaboration is
key.
Hey, 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 hey.
That's what we want to see.
Hey, 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 poetry. Special thanks to our content contributors, Muchemo Sinkala, Amber Indongesitz, and Aaron J. Tamale for sourcing the news for this week's podcast.
Before we go, do show some love for your new favorite podcast by following Multijet Silent Factory on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook to keep up with us and everything related to us.
Everything.
Which countries will we cover next? Angola?
Kenya?
Mozambique?
Ethiopia?
Tune in next week to find out as we continue to bring you anything and everything film in Africa. Same place, same time. I'm Serena.
And this is Nikita, signing out.
Salam Sintle.